Good evening and welcome to this Maundy-Thursday service. Whether you are joining us online or you are here in the sanctuary, we are glad that you are worshiping with us this evening. I just wanted to make note of our upcoming services this weekend. Tomorrow, our Good Friday service will be held at noon here in the sanctuary, and it will also be live streamed. And then Sunday morning, we have three opportunities to worship together. There will be a sunrise service at 6:30 a.m. in the Cloister Garden out here. That will not be live streamed. If it is raining, that will be held in the small Scales Chapel. And then our traditional services will be held at 8:45 and 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary, and they will also be live streamed. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this evening.
Oh. A table is set before us. Jesus calls us to this supper of remembrance.
We are called to serve and be
served. Our understanding may fail us. Let us break the bread and share the cup.
Let us worship God together.
God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? O God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have been thinking a lot lately about nostalgia and memory and what it means to remember. Throughout the pandemic, I found myself longing for the past on a pretty regular basis. I would catch myself thinking back to when life was simple, when we didn't have to calculate the risk of every interaction outside of our immediate family, when we could walk into any public place without wearing a mask, or when we could go to the grocery store and find the shelves well stocked with toilet paper. And now that things are closer to pre-pandemic life than they used to be, when my family schedule is busy again and we have lots of activities and obligations, well, now I find myself fondly remembering those days early in the pandemic when everything was shut down, when we had an abundance of family time at home. If I'm not careful, I allow myself to forget how stressful that was and how we often felt trapped because we were home all the time. The grass is always greener, right? Or maybe the past is always greener. Of course, what I've been doing in this focusing on the past is engaging in nostalgia. It is defined in the Oxford Dictionary as a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past. In an article published in the New York Times, author John Tierney describes the origins of the term. It was first coined by a Swiss physician in 1688, who called it a neurological disease of essentially demonic cause. Apparently, military physicians were concerned about the prevalence of nostalgia in Swiss mercenaries who had been sent abroad. They speculated that those soldiers kept longing for the past because, get this, their eardrums and brains had been damaged by the unremitting clanging of cowbells in the Alps. I guess it gives that phrase "more cowbell" a whole new meaning, right? In our modern culture, nostalgia certainly is not considered demonic, but it doesn't always have a positive connotation either. When we engage in nostalgia, we can tend to gloss over all of the difficult or negative parts of the past and only focus on the good things that happened. And until relatively recently, doing anything more than a little reminiscing was considered a red flag for depression. Living in the past, rather than living forward, wasn't thought to be healthy. But John Tierney says that those who have studied nostalgia more recently have found that it can actually have a positive impact on us. Nostalgia can counteract loneliness, boredom, and anxiety. It makes people more generous to strangers and more tolerant of outsiders. On cold days or in cold rooms, people who turn to nostalgia can literally feel warmer. It actually has a physiological effect on our bodies. Nostalgia can make life seem more meaningful, says Tierney, and it can make death less frightening. There is power in remembering. On the night before his death, Jesus was gathered with his friends around a table. He took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks. And then he broke the bread And he poured wine, and he gave them to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, and this is my blood. They are given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And they did. And we do. Once a month, and on nights like this, we gather together as a community, whether we're online or here in person, and we remember. We reenact what Jesus did, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. So I suppose, in a way, we Christians live in the past. After all, our whole reason for being as a church is centered on the life, death, and resurrection of someone who lived 2,000 years ago. Every week, we read an ancient text that has formed us as a community and informed how we live our lives. This week especially, as we retell the story of Jesus' journey to the cross, we place ourselves in that story. We are the children that waved palm branches as Jesus entered Jerusalem. We are the disciples who claimed to love Jesus and yet betrayed him. And we are the women who discovered the empty tomb and ran to tell the good news. We remember. We weren't even there, and yet we remember. We are living in the past on purpose. And yet we're not only living in the past. In our United Methodist tradition, we understand that Holy Communion is in part a remembrance, a commemoration, and a memorial. But this remembrance isn't just reminiscence or nostalgia. It is a representation in the here and now of what God has done in the past. This representation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, draws the past into the present. We are the disciples. We are gathered around a table, and we are watching Jesus break bread and pour wine as he prepares for his own body to be broken, his own blood to be poured out. And in that way, Jesus Christ is present here and now. Not just in the story we tell about what happened long ago, but in the very act of breaking bread and drinking from the cup with the gathered community. When we do this in remembrance of him, we don't leave our present reality behind. We come to this table with our joys and our celebrations, with our hurts and our struggles. And the act of remembering doesn't make those things go away. But it does open us to the powerful gift of Christ's presence with us. This Christ who knew joy and sorrow and suffering, and who celebrates and grieves and suffers with us. Remembering the past opens us to a profound grace right here in the present. There is power in remembering. When we gather at this table, when we celebrate Holy Communion as a community of faith, we are remembered and we are re/membered. Though we may have forgotten who we are, Jesus Christ has not forgotten us. Though we as a people may be divided, or distracted, or detached, or disconnected, or disengaged, though we as the body of Christ may be broken into a million pieces, Christ gathers us in at this table. Christ puts us back together again at this table where everyone is welcome. We come from diverse backgrounds, and sometimes it feels like we have more differences than commonalities, but at this table, we are put back together. one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. We are remembered. There is power in remembering. And so it is that from the past will come the future. At this table where we remember, where we find nourishment in the presence of Christ and in the unity of the body of Christ, we are also given a glimpse of the kingdom of God. We're given a foretaste of that heavenly banquet where the whole creation will be made new. And this vision becomes our mission. If at the table of Christ everyone is welcome, so we are to welcome all people. If at the table of Christ everyone receives forgiveness, so we are to forgive others. If at the table of Christ everyone is fed, so we are to share our resources. We are called to work together as the body of Christ so that our present reality looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God each and every day. I read a story recently about UMCOR, which is the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And the article was about how UMCOR is working with our United Methodist churches in Eastern Europe to bring relief to the Ukrainian refugees. The story described how a large sum of money was donated by a member of the Korean United Methodist Church in Atlanta. The donor, who asked to remain anonymous, sent a letter with her donation. In it, she noted that the plight of Ukraine reminded her of the Korean War. During that war, her father had fled North Korea as a boy, and he had received a helping hand from a minister in South Korea. Her family's story of struggle has become a source of comfort and hope for others. And the world looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. There is power in remembering. The Sunny Day Club is a ministry here at West End, where people in the early stages of memory loss can enjoy fellowship and friendship and stimulation in a safe and loving environment. This ministry also provides a much needed time of respite for family caregivers. But due to the pandemic and the vulnerability of that population, the Sunny Day Club has not met for 2 years. But that hasn't stopped our volunteers. They have made doorstep deliveries. They have sent cards and care packages. They have kept in touch with our Sunny Day families so that they know that they have not been forgotten, so that they can continue to feel loved and supported. Soon, Sunny Day will restart their in-person ministry, and they will welcome new families into the Sunny Day Club. And the world looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. There is power in remembering. This week, during our staff meeting, Emily Robbins and Maggie Jarrell shared about a gathering that included our confirmands and our youth on Sunday night. As you can imagine, or perhaps you have experienced yourself, it can be a little intimidating as a sixth grader to walk into a room that's owned and occupied by a bunch of older students. But our youth welcomed these confirmands with smiles and silly games. Apparently, there was even a friendly wrestling match that helped to break the ice. Thankfully, it didn't break any bones. These young people lived out the call to welcome others and to be in community with people who may be different from them. And the world looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. There is power in remembering. Friends, as we gather at this table tonight, may we be a people who remember. not just so that we can live in the past, but so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might find nourishment in the presence of Christ here and now, and that we might work toward a future in which our whole world looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. May it be so. Amen.
As Aaron has reminded us, tonight we are the disciples, invited to gather at this table, to be fed, to receive, poured out upon us the grace offered to us, that Jesus offers us through the very real and concrete elements of bread and the cup. One of the many ways we can respond to this love and to this grace in a very concrete way is through our giving. And we invite you to make your offerings this night as a response of love to the love that has been given to us. If you're here in the sanctuary, we will not be passing the plates tonight, but there are offering boxes available in the narthex and in Reed Hall outside these doors. If you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link available in the chat that will allow you to make your gifts. But we not only make our concrete gifts, we offer our full selves, our whole hearts, to this God who has given God's very self to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. From the earth you bring forth bread and create the fruit of the vine. You formed us in your image, delivered us from captivity, and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You fed us manna in the wilderness and gave us grapes as evidence of the promised land. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When we turned away in pride and selfishness, you responded in loving presence through Christ. Taking on human form, you set a living example of grace to bring forth the kingdom of God. Jesus fed the hungry, healed the sick, ate with the scorned and forgotten. In humility, he washed his disciples' feet and gave a holy meal as a pledge of his abiding presence. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he was betrayed by his closest friends, Jesus gave himself up for us. He took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we seek to obey your commandment to love one another as you have loved us. We offer ourselves in humility and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. invite those of you here in the sanctuary to come forward via the center aisle. You can kneel at the rails as you are able, and we invite you to put out your hands if you are ready to receive the elements. The servers will come to you. You can bring back your hands when you have been served, and you're welcome to stay as long as you wish in prayer. All of our elements this evening, all of our bread is gluten-free. And I wanted to make a mention about our communion offering this evening. Our communion offering, there are plates there, is for Open Table Nashville. Every year we raise money to help us to pay for a staff person and to meet the needs of our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness. And so we ask that you would give generously to that ministry. One concrete example of how they do that ministry is this morning, many of the folks who are in homelessness lost their tents last night in that great wind and rain and flooding. And so this morning, Open Table Nashville was out there handing out tents and other needs, other things that those folks needed. So that's one concrete way that this ministry helps our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness. Friends, this is the table of Christ, and he invites everyone. All are welcome. This is the body of Christ, broken and given in love for you. This is the cup of salvation, broken, poured out for you, that you may experience the forgiveness of your sins. All is ready, the table is set, and you are welcome here. Please come. Let's pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.